Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, wrestling world? It's your boy B-Train from Wrestle Radio. What up? Before we start this podcast, we would like to take a 10-second pause to remember the victims of the mass shooting in Las Vegas. So we are going to pause for 10 seconds, folks, in remembrance. As crazy as things are, we do not forget those around us, and we also don't forget the current events surrounding the United States of America or anywhere else going on. So to those victims, and to also the victims that went through Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, we need to get relief out there soon, folks, because it's a very small island. And don't just say, I'm doing what I can to help. Be active. Help as best you can. If you can't help, then that's going to be on whatever. Anyways, back to wrestling. Monday Night Raw was in Denver, Colorado. The main attraction was Roman Reigns versus The Miz. And we all knew that The Miz was probably most likely not going to leave without his Intercontinental Championship because, well, he's the only one so far to bring relevancy to it. That's the main word for today is relevancy. I'll tell you why later in Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition. But also, you saw Mickie James in the back, you know, going through her locker room, and she found a walker. She found some extra large overalls or panties or whatever they were. Anyhow, what else happened on Monday Night Raw that was noteworthy? So you saw Finn Balor going right after Bray Wyatt. You saw Titus O'Neil getting defeated by Elias Samson. Not that that mattered to some people. So hang on, folks, just one second. As I'm going through Monday Night Raw's highlights, I'm just going to keep pausing because just reading some messages, folks. I apologize. I'm about to go over the highlights of Monday Night Raw. So here's the thing. Whenever I watched Monday Night Raw, as I said, the main attraction was Roman Reigns versus The Miz. And it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't terrible. I had an inkling of, you know, the Shield reuniting, possibly because, well, Roman Reigns has been attacked. The Miz and the Miztourage stood over the Roman Reigns and did the whole Shield fist bump thing. Now, there was some focus on Monday Night Raw, and I'm going to laugh people for saying this. So, Enzo Amore is in the Cruiserweight division. Is that the main focus of the discussion today? I could just tell you how many people react a certain way, but the funny thing is, folks, if he didn't show up to Cruiserweight 205 Live, where would you put him on the shelf? And some people say, oh, that's okay. Here's the thing, folks. A lot of people can be deep in thought whenever they think about something. And I got to say this right here, right now, as a podcast host. I watched Monday Night Raw and didn't think anything of it. Why? Because sometimes episodes just go by so quickly and they go by without you knowing it. Here's my thing. I think it's funny how certain fans forget that people will watch Monday Night Raw. It's 3 hours long, so keeping up with it is kind of difficult when they've got so many things going on. You got to isolate each one as a broadcast journalist. So how do you isolate each incident? Or each incident, each match, or each occurrence on Monday Night Raw. Figure you watch it once, and you go back online, and you look for the recap. That's the only effective way to do this. Now, Nia Jax did not defeat Mickie James. Mickie James kind of surprised Nia. Don't care. Mickie James, the veteran, they're trying to bring back the old school feel to things. With that being said, then, you know, you're brought into the segments, like the cruiserweight segments. After the cruiserweight segments come a few minor matches, like Alicia Fox and Emma versus Bayley and Sasha, which that tandem gets on my everlasting nerve because cannot stand Sasha, cannot stand Bayley. They did have an amazing match in Barclays Center, but that's all they're hinging it off of. That was an amazing match. It was an amazing match. Yes, they're, you know, the positive is they're there to entertain kids, and Bayley gave her Letterman's jacket to a kid in the front row. What are the highlights of this? I guess, you know, you have your Supreme Baby Faces defeating your, well, I guess that you could call them your heels, but Alicia Fox is a decent worker. Emma is playing it off like, I don't want to be a part of the scene, so I'm leaving. I don't know what they're doing with her, but it's kind of retarded, in my opinion. Anyhow, so it gets to, you know, the Intercontinental title match in the middle of the show. That's funny, because if I were a booker, which I'm not, I would have put Roman Reigns and The Miz in the main event, simply because that title is the Intercontinental Championship. It's not the world. It's not the Universal Heavyweight Championship that Brock Lesnar holds on to, but it is a title of importance. And the reason why I'm not so thrilled, you know, with the thought that they have a mid-card match and they flip it all over, because you can't have the perfect card every time. I get it, card subject to change. However, I guess, you know, they say just watch it as fans. Just watch it as a fan. Just enjoy the show. Don't think about it from a worker's perspective. Even as a fan, the whole, you know, teasing the Shield reunion. What? I mean, what, you know, what is the premise for me getting upset? Because it's my right as a fan. And whenever I see somebody post something on Facebook like, well, you shouldn't feel this way, you know what? Fuck you. Okay? If I want to say that a show sucks and broadcast it to the world, then let me say it. Why does it suck? Because you have all the pieces to the puzzle. You've got Sheamus and Cesaro. What in the fuck was the point of having them come out and attack Roman Reigns and then do the Shield, you know, the way they used to enter the ring? And whatnot. I'll tell you what was the point. Because they're teasing the fucking Shield to reunite. Just not now, maybe not at TLC, but later on. But if they don't capitalize on it, then Roman Reigns is just going to have to be limited to whatever option they give him, because, like I said, I'm not part of the office. I wish I was, because it could fucking book better. And also, makes sense in this shit. 50-50 booking loses you fans. 50 meaning, okay, we get what we want, but they also get what they want. No, because, let's see, it's not your guys' fault that Samoa Joe gets hurt at a house show against none other than John Cena, and say, let's see, even Brock Lesnar had said, I'd rather have dropped the title to Samoa Joe than, because he can go blow for blow with me, and he can hold his own. And to me, guys, the reason why I'm not totally in, you know, excited about reviewing Monday Night Raw, it's because it's a 3-hour show. It's got certain good people, certain people that don't fit with what they're doing. One second, folks, while we pause for station identification. Now that we're back from station identification, it's time for the advertisements. If you would like to attend Monster Factory Camp, I'm pretty sure there may still be openings, both the 13th and the 14th of this month, at the world-famous Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. For more information, contact Danny Cage on the website on monsterfactory.org. By the way, Bada Boom, coolest website in the room. How you doing? Contact Danny Cage to learn gain some knowledge on some pro wrestling. Also, tonight in Kansas City, there will be a wrestling seminar with the famous Evan Bourne, a.k.a. Matt Sydal, who has wrestled and worked in Japan and all over the world. For more information, go to NWLTPC's website or check on events for Matt Sydal Seminar Kansas City. Be sure that you get all or soak up all the knowledge you can. There are plenty of wrestling seminars going on, probably this week and this weekend and next weekend and all the weeks that you can think of. So please do not hesitate to go to one said seminar and make yourself a better wrestler, manager, referee, or whatever profession you find in the wrestling business. For those of you wishing to catch Hell in a Cell this Sunday, you can do so by going to the WWE website, signing up for your first month free. You can also get a preloaded card for $29.97. at your local GameStops, Dollar General's, Best Buy, and 7-Elevens. If you do not like using preloaded cards and have bad luck typing in promotional codes, you can still sign up for the network on WWE.com. You can use a valid debit or credit card with a valid username and password. Your username must be an email address. Your password must be an uppercase or lowercase letter with special characters included, so that way you can keep from people using your special password or whatever. For more information about looking at Evolve, Ring of Honor, PWG, CZW, you can go to flowslam.com. That is FLOSLAM.com. Be sure to catch guys like Keith Lee, guys like Matthew Riddle, Ethan Page, Darby Allin, Brian Cage, Pentagon Jr., so on and so forth. Be sure to catch all your wrestling that you can on a Roku, Apple TV, or any more device that you can catch wrestling on. Therefore, if you have any more information that you want to ask, call in the number and do so at 913. Man, the number's on our page, guys. You know the drill. If you would like to call in, folks, be sure to call in Wrestle Radio. If you do not want to call in, that's understandable. Therefore, I'm going to continue my ramblings. So I watched Monday Night Raw and came to the realization sometimes shows are going to suck. Sometimes shows are just going to be, well, how do I put this? To the best, you know, they're doing the best they can, but another time, I'm bipolar with this shit. I'm just going to say it. There's one week where Monday Night Raw is amazing and booking is flat out awesome. Then there's next week where it sucks so much dick, I don't even know what to fucking tell you. And I'm not going to be appropriate with it because here's the thing. If you watch Monday Night Raw, if you've watched it this year and last year, is there any difference? There should be, because now they're pulling up stars from NXT. Now WWE is taking notice that, hey, the fans want these people. Does it matter? Yes, it does. Because as a fan, if it all boils down to is watching 3 hours of TV, then you might as well just be able to flip back and forth and say, hey. Because I, you know, was flipping back and forth watching Monday Night Football, and I was disappointed in the result, but my broadcast colleague was not, because he's, you know, well. Guys, I'm ashamed to admit this about, you know, Jake. There's several good qualities about him, but holy hell. He's a Chiefs fan, and I just, you know, just thought I'd throw this out there. I mean, it's not something you ever admit when you live in New York or California. Some to say they're 4-0. See, I end up discussing other things than football. So here, there you go, folks. That's how much I was paying attention to Monday Night Raw. I still grabbed the most important details, which was Kalisto is now a part of the Cruiserweights. Yeah, the only highlight for his career was TLC 2015 or 16 when he did the Silvita de Sol off the top of the ladder. So there's no denying that he has talent. So they're mixing Enzo Amore with one talent right after the other because supposedly there was a no-contact clause. They couldn't touch Enzo because they know that he really cannot work really well. That kind of should just transform, you know, in, you know, being him being on main and then him also being on, oh, how do I put this? There's no question that Neville has more skill, but Enzo has more charisma and more intrigue than fucking Neville. And though fans will argue till they're blue in the face, it's the fucking truth. If you look at wrestlers who can pull an audience, unfortunately for some of us, and, you know, and most of us, Enzo is one of those guys that knows he's good at pulling in an audience. He's also good at shoot promos. For those of you who don't know what a shoot promo is, I'm going to fill you in. It's what I do most of the time on Off the Rails. If I feel up to it. Well, that's most of the time. So, anyways, to sift through Monday Night Raw might take me forever, so I'm going to go over SmackDown Live preview. If I can. Aha. There it is. All right, monkeys in the truck. Hit my music.
Come on.
Alright, ladies and gents. SmackDown Live Preview. Since SmackDown is the only show that seems to follow a simple format with certain people, and what may that format be? A guy like Shinsuke Nakamura is facing off with Jinder Mahal. They keep a simple format with Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, the list goes on. Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon will meet face-to-face tonight live on SmackDown Live. I can only tell you, that is just about be the combustible elements as if Enzo and Corey Graves would, you know, meet face-to-face. I have a feeling it's going to go down. There's no possible way that these two can keep it civil. If they do, I don't know if that's such a good idea, but it's definitely going to be interesting. Pause thought was, what's going to transpire at Hell in a Cell with Charlotte Flair, Carmella lurking in the background, and then you have Ellsworth as a factor. Honestly, SmackDown Live to me, I've said this millions of times, is more intriguing for the simple fact that they've got more intrigue and interest, not just because they have to put like a 20-minute promo into effect, you know, to make their point, like, I'm going to see you for the title next week, and I'm going to kick your ass. Very generic promos, and they get the message across on Raw. What is the difference on SmackDown Live? SmackDown Live, you see more variety. You see guys that actually can play up to what they, you know, are billed for. And an example of that on Raw would be Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt. It's the most underrated thing because people have known Bray Wyatt. They've known Finn Balor. People favor Finn Balor because he's what you call Here's what I'm going to say, guys. I'm just reading questions that are constantly coming through Instagram. If you guys want to know the reason why I completely favor SmackDown Live over Monday Night Raw, here's the main reason. It's because there's the team of creative that lets the wrestlers have wiggle room. On Monday Night Raw, is there any wiggle room for Cesaro and Sheamus and, you know, guys like The Miz, who's like cookie cutter, but he's a good worker because he gets the job done? Now, 205 Live needs to be linked with SmackDown simply because Monday Night Raw's crowd does not comprehend nor understand the cruiserweights. Some of them, I remember the days back in WCW. That is true. The cruiserweights were back in WCW. But you guys are missing the point. Point is, there are certain things that need to be fixed about Monday Night Raw, and why am I not giving a full preview for SmackDown Live? Because this show, week in and week out, will give a surprise as to what goes on. It's not predictable. It doesn't follow along the lines of, well, we knew this would happen. It's like what Lance Storm said on his podcast with Jim Cornette's podcast. Creative has the bad habit of going in the opposite of direction and what the fans would like to see. It's true. It's so fucking true, because why? SmackDown Live is only 2 hours long. Raw is 3 hours. So their ratings are high because, you know, thank you, Hulu, you don't have to have cable. They condense Monday Night Raw down to really short hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on what goes on and what's important, what's not. And the content through which Raw produces just gives you the idea that bland and boring is okay in wrestling. I mean, wrestling shouldn't be based off, can I stay awake to watch this? Wrestling should be, man, did you see this show last week? It was amazing. I really liked it. It was awesome. That's the things that you should be saying about watching pro wrestling. SmackDown Live's preview got cut short, guys, because I had the feeling I was going to go off tangent, which I normally do. And the reason for me going off tangent is because every time that I turn on the TV to watch USA Network, you know, there's always promotions for different events like Susan G. Komen Month, you know, Fight the Good Fight Against Breast Cancer. Then there's always, you know, the Conor's Cure. But when it gets to wrestling, I'm beginning to feel lost about Monday Night Raw. And certain people have told me, I don't watch the Raw pay-per-views anymore. I don't watch SmackDown Live. I just watch NXT. Then you're also missing out because you have to keep up with everything that builds up to Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and all that stuff. And some people say, well, it's pointless because we never get what we want. Well, I guess we were spoiled for a good 6 years when Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock was around. And it just begs the question, like, okay, who's going to be the next guy to take the torch? Because, you know, we got our age group, my age group, 30-year-olds, we got spoiled. The demographic that saw The Rock, Austin, Triple H, Mankind, Cactus Jack, we got spoiled. Not just those guys. We get Boss Man, Hogan, Savage, Piper, Flair. We got hella spoiled. So I guess this is going to lead off into me ranting and raving as usual about certain things, but I guess I could do if the people in the truck would quit being jackasses, you know, you kind of are. Well, how can we can discuss the, you know, I really think that we should. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. All right, folks, you know what time it is. It's for that segment called Off the Rails, Wrestle Radio Edition. And today, I'd like to touch with you on a few things other than bitching about Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live. And you see, the thing is, I do have a subject to discuss with you all because it's about going to seminars and the importance of going to a seminar in the world of professional wrestling, is like the importance of going to a seminar if you're in fashion, if you're in music, if you're in design. There's ways about going to seminars. And if you guys really want to know what I'm going to talk to you about. It's about knowing, you know, when you can take risks. And it's completely fine because here's the thing. I got wind, you know, that there are certain people that cannot go to a seminar. You're denying your students knowledge. And for me, that's just stupid because it's not plausible for me. It's not plausible for me why someone cannot go to a seminar. It just doesn't make sense. And if you're deciding to go to a seminar in which you know the person has a credible name in the business, then go. If Booker T was giving a seminar, Bubba Ray Dudley, if ODB was giving a seminar, just go. What's worse, guys, is the fact that people, I don't understand why people will choose not to go because they're pressured by their peer leader, like I guess the whole thing is there's a territorial thing that I'm well aware of that goes on between two schools, and I'm just going to leave both their names out of it. However, I'm going to talk about it because it is so stupid not to go. It is retarded. And I'm losing my train of thought because it's so dumb. Like, how can you be that stupid? If you're going to base your stuff on peer pressure, if in peer pressure meaning in a bad way, saying you can't go because this group of people is being, you know, they're the enemy, so therefore you can't go. That's like me saying you can't go to this concert because, well, obviously it's not going to be worth it. So why wouldn't it be worth it to soak up knowledge from a guy like Evan Bourne? Why wouldn't it be awesome to soak up knowledge from, you know, his brother? And it's hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me how people can sit there and, oh, you shouldn't go because, you know, why? Are you afraid you're going to lose students? To me, the thing is, if you do not want to move forward an inch in your career, just then keep being content. Keep believing that you know everything. Because some of those guys, ever since I stepped away from that school, I think I've been happier. So it's not about me. It's not about that school. If I was the one holding a seminar, it's not about, oh, yeah, well, okay, that's less money in my pocket. It's how much knowledge can I shell out to these guys? If I know something about the business, it's fans like being entertained, plain and simple. It's how and what, you know, like playing a game of chess. If you know which pieces to move forward first, most of the time, if you're brilliant about people and you base it off their mannerisms, then you'll know that, okay, this is how I'm able to work this crowd one night, but I don't know if they'll pop the second night if they've seen it before. Because now in wrestling, there's so many instances where the crowd is just bored with your ass and they won't do a damn thing. You know, they'll just sit there and just fall asleep or be on their phone, you know, taking pictures of you because that's, you know, their only way of saying, hey, I was at Monday Night Raw, or hey, I was at SmackDown Live, or I was at Ring of Honor, you know, or I was at House of Glory. Oh, hey, I was at CZW. The point is, going to a seminar, if you're not ready for criticism, or if you're not ready for what you don't want to hear, then fine. Just sit on the sidelines. Be a little bitch. Because it's fucking ridiculous that I, you know, get wind of this shit, and I'm not even involved with this anymore. But at the same time, if I had an opportunity to go learn from somebody, then hey, it's like going to school and not wanting more knowledge. Because eventually when you get out, you tend to forget shit. And then people come up to you and say, don't you know about this? We're in school. I got a little hint for you. When you get out of school, and for these people who believe that being college educated is important, it is, to an extent. But even if you don't go through high school, or if you don't go all the way through and you get a GED, don't sneer at those people. Because why? They got their knowledge from, you know, somewhere else, and they managed to get a GED. If you went to a community college versus going to a regular college, some people sneer at that. They go, because I don't want to go through a community college. Why wouldn't you want to go through a community college? You save money. Just because someone works at a grocery store tells you, I mean, some people are so hard-headed and they have a fear of certain things. Why? Why would you be looked down upon your friends? Your friends talk shit about that? This does have something to do with going to a wrestling seminar. So what if you are going through enemy territory? You know you're going to get looked at regardless. Even if now that that school has a credible trainer who told them, in fact, go, there's going to be backlash, right? Because someone said, oh, I can't go because my neck's sore. I can't go because my toe is hurting. All I can tell you is that toe could be iced, that neck could be iced, and you can end up at the seminar. As far as I'm concerned, the reason why I'm not in the seminar, folks, is because I'm home away in Brooklyn, fucking New York. Okay? And they said, well, there's plenty of guys out there for a podcaster to find out about podcasting. You don't think I know that shit? You don't think I know that shit? Here's the fun part, guys. There's so many things that you can do in this wrestling, in this life. You can either sit and bitch about why you're not the top or not, you know, getting the finances you want, or you can sit there and say, damn, I actually learned something. Because so many people like to bitch because for the sake of hearing themselves say, I don't have enough money, I don't have this, I don't have that. Instead of saying, I don't, I can't, I won't, you know, just do what makes you feel better. If it's saying, fuck the world, you know, I don't care. If it's throwing a rock at somebody's window, don't do that. But spray painting graffiti art on cardboard, whatever makes you feel better. But, guys, the truth of the matter is, when you are told not to go to a seminar, that's what, fuck me. I've been with this group of people. And I mention them quite a bit. And they are a part of my past. Whether I choose to acknowledge them or not, this group of people strikes me as they're afraid. Why? What good will it do you to be afraid? If you don't want to succeed, then fine. Because he's in enemy territory, they can give a fuck less. If I'm the teacher or professor or whatever, or Matt Seidel, my bad, or Evan Bourne, same guy. Point is, if I were him, I wouldn't give a damn if you came from said wrestling school. My job is to, as the worker, is to teach what I know and pass down what I know. It's not to be bullshitting you guys around and taking your money and leaving. Some guys do that, and some guys are very good at it. And what amazes me is the fact that, you know, certain people just are out to get others. It's like, man, you know, this business is not what people think it is on the other side of things. That's why I'm kind of glad I'm taking a step back, is because, you know, if you're wanting to get into this business, you either have a few years or you don't. So the more knowledge that you soak up, the more that you're plausible to get a booking. Or not just a booking, but a bigger and badder position. So, it just begs the question, how dumb do you have to be to pass up an opportunity, and through which if you're never going to branch outside of Kansas City, that's fine. You know, some people are great locals. They say, well, I would love to. I'd love to have all the money that you claim to have, you know, to get me where I'm at. If you had all... Again, excuses are for assholes. Everyone's got one. And also, being up front with people, it's how you present it. It's how you fucking present that issue. Some people really don't know how to present themselves, and which brings me to the next subject. For those of you interested in what's going on in social media and surrounding the whole wrestling news circuit, I happened to catch on my Twitter feed some interesting battles. And by interesting battles, I mean personal battles going on between Corey Graves and one Enzo Amore. Gentlemen, if it pleases the court, both of you are at fault. Corey, I know you probably were just joking around, you know, and trying to be subtle about it, but the next time you decide to joke around, man, do not target Enzo, because the man will run his mouth. Why is the social media my concern? What does it concern me? Focus on my own shit. It bothers me because people automatically side with, oh, you know, it's this guy's fault. Oh, it's this guy's fault. Again, I'm not siding with anybody in this whole ordeal, but Corey Graves did initiate the one thing you never initiate with a troubled case, and that is associating with somebody that is not well-liked by a lot of guys. When you first get in the company, you know, you see Enzo in the back, with, what's his face, Triple H. And he's with Big Cass, and he's standing there with Triple H saying, you know, welcome to the company, blah, 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 blah. The point I'm trying to make is, whenever you know that somebody does something that reminds you of somebody you hate, I guess some people are attention whores. And both these people are. Because, and think of it, on Monday Night Raw, Corey Graves, your bigger disappointment, son. Jeez. The only thing that I can tell you is the reason why Corey Graves got upset is because the response to him says, no, you're not a failure at being a father. You are a failure at being a wrestler. Corey Graves had a succession of concussions going on, you know, and that's why he no longer wrestles. He's sitting at the announce table, which is probably killing him. There's certain guys that will never, ever get along with each other, ever. And what amuses me is that people will tend to be like sharks smelling blood in the water with Enzo, and they're not so much with Corey Graves. When in fact, here's the thing, guys. If you deduce this like Sherlock Holmes, you see that both these gentlemen are at fault. You say, how is Corey Graves at fault? He was just trying to be a jokester. When you initiate or confront somebody who is terrible at, you know, running his mouth, like Enzo, you're going to be at a loss for words, because why? People look like fools citing on social media with any political party, religion, celebrity, whatever, and they fight over it. So I'm got, you know, here's what I got to say. I'm not siding with either of these guys. Because every time I side with somebody, I'm not really sure how to put this. It doesn't go well for me. So what am I saying? Am I defending Enzo? No. Because if I defend him, people know he runs his mouth. How can you defend that asshole? You know, guys, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't like somebody, keep it to your fucking self. Sometimes. But if you really don't like him, vocalize it like me. What is the main problem of Enzo Amore? Runs the mouth, but gets ratings. So is there a problem, you know, company-wise? No. I can just tell you right now. The problem with you guys wanting him to be fired from WWE is as follows. How much merchandise do you think Enzo sells every week? Be honest. It's really sad to me. How everyone, okay, Corey Graves is probably the one bright spot when it comes to announcing. Enzo, oh, my goodness. It's an amazement that he stayed in the company for the last 2 years. Under the direction and under the thoughts of how many people who couldn't stand him because he ran his mouth. To those people who could not, that's fine. Everyone is entitled to their thoughts. But for those people sitting and siding with Corey Graves, let me tell you this right now. I just said, I do not side with any of those guys. Again, I'll repeat myself. I don't side with anybody on social media unless they're my close friends and I actually agree with them on that opinion. If I disagree with somebody, then I will disagree. The subject matter is this. Somebody said something. It was stupid. It wasn't well received. On the end of Twitter, that has turned into like one of the biggest wars ever, including our, you know, our lovely president of the United States, who, you know, I'm going to keep that to myself because I'm on a wrestling podcast. This is not a show about politics. This is a show about relaying to you guys what happened on Monday Night Raw and what happened on NXT. The last NXT, guys, I'm going to talk to you about. So I'm going to take a break from Enzo and Corey. The last NXT showing featured Aleister Black and the Velveteen, whatever his name is, Velveteen Dream. I find it interesting. You have two contrasting gimmicks going after one another, and it's amazing. Plus, you have the NXT Championship being defended by Drew McIntyre against Roderick Strong. Not a big fan of Roderick on the mic. He's basic. He's bland. But he's awesome in the ring. Okay, Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross. No one knows what's going on with that, but assuming that, you know, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, who don't like Ruby Riott, they kind of remind me, guys, of Michelle McCool, or Layla and Michelle McCool from, yeah, whatever, Too Cool? No, not Too Cool, but Lay Cool. Bland, Barbie doll gimmick, do not care for them. But knowing certain someone, probably pull them up to main based off their laurels, right? Okay, so we are moving on through NXT, and you definitely noticed that Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Adam Cole are going right after Sanity. Could we see a switch in the tag team championships for NXT? Most likely will. And, okay, so what is the state of the women's championship in NXT? They had a tournament going on. Vanessa Bourne versus Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan won that round. Kairi Sane, I'm hoping she's going to be set up to win the entire tournament. I would hope. One could hope, my bad. Let me rephrase that. So that does it for the NXT review. Oh, yes, if you're going to Clive, Iowa, October the 28th, be sure to get your tickets on the WrestlingRevolver.com. If you have Philip Stamper as a friend, what does that have to do? Because he's like the godfather of indie wrestling, one of the many. Contact him for more information. Actually, you can actually go to the Wrestling Revolver website. You don't have to contact him through tickets, but if you want more information and promotional stuff, I am definitely sure I'm going to enjoy time with Phil. In Phil, we trust. What events will be featured? There's going to be like 6 or 7 tag teams, like Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan. So in this tag team ladder match for the tag team champion, who is going to win? Who is going to come out on top? Also, you guys may see what we saw, A.R. Fox, you see Sami Callihan, you can see Brian Cage, you can see a 6-man scramble match, which may feature anybody and everybody in this match. You have Gary J. and Palmer. Now, there needs to be 4 more, and I think one of those 4 could be the enigmatic Suplex Cyclone, a.k.a. the mayor of the City of Destruction, the true mayor of Suplex City, the one, the only, Kurt Gannon. Now, speaking of Kurt Gannon, worked in the match with Leland Race that I saw this past weekend at New Breed Wrestling. Was in Sedalia, Missouri, where the host with the most was spotted. And it was an interesting night. Jimmy Dean wrestled. So did, what's his face? Steve, Celebrity Steve, oh my goodness, Travis Cook, I gotta say, the highlight of that, you know, entire night, Travis Cook got on the microphone and spoke during Kurt Gannon's match, and I'd have to say it was pretty amazing what the words were said, and what was said basically was, I got to speak on behalf of all managers. This isn't just some dress-up-and-play manager. You're going to need a wheelchair to wheel yourself back there. And I've managed against some of the greats, Travis says, I've managed against Jimmy Hart standing across the ring from me, and I was victorious. Jim Cornette stood across the ring from me, and I ended up on top. As you know, my wrestler was victorious. I thought it was great, the sentiment about, you know, is this, be generous for a day, let anybody manage. You never know what things could be said to make someone's day go brighter. And to me, speaking of which, guys, I'm going to be at my first Survivor Series in Houston, and I'm going to be at NXT TakeOver in Houston. To not tell you how excited I am, because I've been through everything else. I've been to WrestleMania. I've been to Royal Rumble. I've been all the way through Raw 1000, 5 WrestleManias, a lot of NXT TakeOvers. But Survivor Series, I mean, hey, someone say, well, why waste your time when you can go to again, I'm not taking sides, which is also what I want to talk to you about. People tend to take sides when it comes to pro wrestling. And then when you oppose them or say something different, boy, does that take a whole new meaning. It takes on a whole new meaning because whenever someone says, I picked this guy because blah, 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 then when you're live face-to-face, you get into an argument and then you get laughed at or you get told, well, you're full of shit. This is the reason why I think these guys should be top dollar, blah, blah, blah. And then you have your top-tier face, you have your top-tier. Again, I hate when people pick sides because then it becomes complacent as fans. It becomes boring. It actually becomes to the point where I say, you have your thoughts, I have mine. If we can respect that, please, that'd be great. And I've been guilty of this a lot of times where I used to not listen to people, what they have to say, but I'm interested in, like, it turns into a really physical or verbal debate on who you like in wrestling. Isn't that sad? We should all be treated like who we're going to like. We should all be free to decide whether or not, you know, this is why we chose to watch. This is why we chose to watch wrestling. And it's like, guys, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. But picking sides shouldn't mean, oh, you think this way, so I'm going to go this direction. And that's what I don't like. I don't like feeling like we got to oppose ourselves. Like, it's good to have a healthy debate, but over pro wrestling, really, bro? Some people like debating because they like making points because they know they're master debaters. And they're good at master debating. So here's the thing. I know some people got my innuendo just now. There's never such a phrase of enjoy it from a fan's perspective, but when you've worked in the business, it's so annoying. And I've caught myself doing this. I really didn't like this way because this person did it this way, and I, you know, at what point, guys and gals, do we sit and stop ourselves and say, well, I really wish I could, but you know how it is. No, I don't. Honestly, I don't know what is. I'm reading your question. Mike from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and also Jason from Paoli, Pennsylvania. Do I think that there will be a Shield reunion at Survivor Series? I don't know, guys. All I know is that the time frame for a reunion is very, 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 very slow because you have to have a build in wrestling. So, in other words, you write a story, right? You're not going to have Harry Potter automatically kill Voldemort in the very first book, are you? You've got to write out exactly how you feel. There's got to be sub-characters, too, that have a valid point. So there's Harry, Hermione, and Ron as a trio. Yes, it is the month of Halloween, and I know I'm kind of in the middle of multitasking here. But I got to say, guys, the point I'm trying to make is what you saw at the end of Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns, you know, and Dean and Seth leaving side by side, it's going to be amazing what they're going to come up with next. So, no, I don't think that Survivor Series is going to tank as far as if they keep it how they did last year with the Raw versus SmackDown format. I think that it's going to go well. I think, you know, and also about the caller who called in, he's a pretty cool dude. And if he decides to call in again, I wouldn't mind. But anyways, back to, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. Oh, yes. Enzo Amore versus Corey Graves is one of the titles that I have. Imagine that. Imagine if Corey Graves could somehow miraculously get back in the ring if the doctors had cleared him. I don't think Enzo would be standing very much longer. It would turn into a major shoot. And, you know, it would turn into something very evil. But here's my plea to both those guys. If you guys had any sense left in you, Enzo, if you had any sense left in you, Corey, if you had any sense left in you, please be gentlemen about it and be like, look, I'm sorry I said what I said because, you know, I got caught up in the moment. Enzo, be nice, right, if I could control people like that. I'm just going to let things fall into it. I'm not a mediator. I'm not a counselor. Nor do I have a psychology degree. But from what I observe, what I see on social media and on TV, that there are certain combustible elements that are going to break unless they have come to an agreement. So here's my thing. If you still feel in your bones that you don't like somebody, that's your choice. That is your choice. There are some people I don't like, yeah, but I keep my composure and my professionalism. And, you know, when I see them in public, do I think ill of them all the time? No, because that consumes most of my fucking day. What am I getting at? If you two want to sit here and fight like little schoolgirls with little book bags or whatever and beat each other with them, you know, that's fine. But don't sit there and ruin my wrestling experience as a fan because now I got to choose one or the other because obviously, you know what, my friend and friends, actually, they're friends of mine that do not like Enzo at all. You know, much rather prefer a guy that talks about, you know, tries to be a Jerry Lawler in a way that he's not, he's probably healthier, but at the same token, what I'm saying is, it's definitely put me in a position where I don't want to be as a fan reading all this shit. And it's like, okay, so do you believe everything you read? No, because I checked the source. I see how many people have reported it. And if there's more than one source that reports it, more than one group that reports it, then yes, it does tend to have credibility to it. So to answer your question, Janine, from Sarasota, that's interesting. Are you close to Full Sail? Awesome. Do you go to any NXT? Oh, you okay, that's cool. So here's what I say. Now, the whole rivalry thing. There's been plenty of incidents during the course of wrestling in which guys absolutely hated each other's guts, but they managed to put on a good show. And I wondered why Corey Graves was absent from 205 Live. It's probably because if he doesn't leave, it's probably going to beat the shit out of him. I don't think he's, you know, not cleared, but beating a man into a bloody pulp, that's a different story. So, overall, you know what my take on it? Here's what I think. If you can't get along with one another, then don't put Enzo, I don't know why, my name is Enzo Amore, you know, that's fine, but 205 Live should have their own separate show. They should not, if they are on main, you know, roster shows like Raw and SmackDown, SmackDown Live probably needs them better, okay, or needs them more. And if Enzo can make SmackDown Live, you know, have their ratings boost a lot higher, I'm only going to tell you that I'm not for what he does. I fell in love with his gimmick, and then I felt like, okay, I like saying his catchphrase, I ain't gonna lie. But I just don't feel the whole drama. That's my thing, if you understand what I'm saying. I appreciate what he does as far as getting people intrigued, interested, drawn in. So while I have 20 minutes left with you guys, I'm going to discuss with you, you know, backtrack even further. Going to a seminar. If it's 20 minutes away and you say, well, I can't go because I'm going to a baseball game with my friend. Is going to a game that is only on, you know, once a year, like once a season, does that really matter? I mean, honestly, I'd like to figure that out myself. If you have the money to afford to go to a seminar, I think that should be your priority, right? If you have one thought process and that's, okay, I'm not going to the seminar because it's in enemy territory, how are you ever going to succeed? What does it matter? Who cares? Just do you. If you have that thought process, you know, it's engraved in your brain like a placebo. This group of people is a bunch of jack-offs and they really don't matter. Then they're just a bunch of jack-offs who don't matter. But if you get put in your brain that it's important to learn and soak up knowledge, and it's important to not only soak up knowledge, but say, go back to your friends and say, this is what I learned. Is it okay if I showcase it? Who cares? If you're in a picture, you're not a celebrity. You're not in WWE. You sure as hell are not in Ring of Honor. You know what your limits are. Now it's time to test them. I sound like a walking or breathing advertisement most of the goddamn time. But I will tell you, folks, as I sit here contemplating thought, you can either sit on your ass and wonder what life could be, or you could just do it, take pictures of it so you can document what the fuck you did, and be and call it a day. Because it's not fair to the rest of the people who go in this business, you know, and they want to succeed and they want to push themselves to the absolute limit through learning. Not through, I'm going to get slammed through a table or I'm going to learn how to be hardcore. No, that's not what all seminars are. Seminars are more or less, if you have a question that's a legitimized one, like how to succeed, not only succeed, but move forward in your career. Where can I go if I want to go not local? What's the best advice? What do you say to a promoter? How do you act, you know, in this situation? How do you get well perceived in this area? If you know a guy that's worked around the world like Evan Bourne, then here's my thought process, guys. He, not only the factor that he's in, not only his accolades in WWE, but outside of WWE. Most people will tell you as workers, do not get caught up in the goal of just being in World Wrestling Entertainment. And also, learn everything that you can, producing, managing, refereeing, helping set up the ring. Yeah, and you know I'm guilty of a few times. Some people notice actions speak louder than words. That's a common phrase around wrestling. Actions speak louder than words. But so what if you're surrounded by backstabbers and this, that, the other, making excuses as to why you can't? Can't is the number one word around humanity nowadays, right? I can't do this. I can't do that. People say, well, it'd be nice if I could. But see, then you get a whole fucking explanation as to why. What's so hard about picking your ass up and saying, I'm going to a camp or a seminar? Even if you're not a worker, like, I'm not a manager, but, or I'm not a wrestler, But I went to a camp in North Carolina and I took pictures. It's not exactly participating. But the point is, I went with my friend on a red-eye flight to Carolina, and it was at the high spots. And let me tell you guys something. We scrimped together. We went to the rental car place, got the boarding pass number. And we settled on how and what we were going to do. We had to eat at a KFC after the seminar because we were hungry. And you know what, guys, I learned? Be more prepared so you can eat whatever. Even if you have more money, you save money by eating value meals and stuff. Anyways, as I was saying, as I was saying, performing long train of thought, I left. So I went to Carolina, went to a seminar, had a good time learning new stuff and seeing, like, all this awesome stuff. And I even asked questions to Sammy Callahan about what advice do you have for a manager. I still asked JT Davidson, who is associated, you know, has been associated with Sammy Callahan before as well. Same advice, you know, let the fans win. Let the fans have victory whenever you're saying something or they insult you. Let them win because it's most important. You have fans that keep coming back because they know they can insult you. And also, he said, just be focused on what's in front of you and learn, because what JT Davidson ended up saying about his wrestling school in Ohio, he said, you've got to be able to prove yourself. You've got to be able to do certain things well. And that me speaking on the microphone, which is the bread and butter of a manager. So all I got to tell you about that is what I'm telling you. If you are willing to learn, that's the first step. Now, the next step is being able to go. And it's calling the kettle black because I should be at one of the camps because money situation. Here I am talking about Survivor Series. Oh, my. So what do? Just bulk up, be a man. Not bulk up, but buck up, be a man. Save money and go to the camp. End of story. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, in conclusion, if there's ever a conflict with you and another worker, either duke it out physically or rationalize things like men. Probably the first option is going to help better, because if you don't feel bad about beating the shit out of somebody, then that's on your whatever, rests on your principles. Does it mean anything to say anything about your professionalism? Probably not, in a good way, but at least you get things out and you don't hold it in. So Enzo Corey, do the world a favor, box it to death. Box each other to death. I don't care. Corey, you're amazing. Yeah, I agree. Corey Graves is amazing. He's got a lot of good things going for him. Company speaks highly of him. He's a good individual. Enzo, on the other hand, he's got half good things going for him and half he needs to work on. This is not a eval from me, but this is what I assess from the whole situation. Seeing how I've got 10 minutes left, folks, I'm going to leave you guys with, I'm going to see you folks tomorrow on Wednesday, Off the Rails, Uncensored Edition, because I'm going to speak more about it, more fluently about it, and pause less about it. So enjoy your day, night, whatever. Go Yankees. And hopefully tonight's a good night for the baseball team, okay? Have a good day, night, whatever. Catch you on the flip side, bitches. Off the Rails, Uncensored tomorrow, whenever I can. Have fun. Bye. Peace. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it.